Plot, Blind, 1987. Written by Ulf Gjelger, shows the educational programs and daily life of students in kindergarten through the 12th grade at the Alabama School for the Blind. The school is organized around the effort to educate blind and visually impaired students to be in charge of their own lives. Sequences in the film include mobility training, braille instruction and orientation, as well as traditional classroom subjects such as English, history, science and music. Other sequences show psychological counseling sessions, vocational training, staff dealing with student disciplinary problems, and the wide variety of recreational and athletic programs. Voice over off.
When you're blind and watching movies, what will you find? A blind superhero whose superpowers are acting like he's not blind. A sighted actor over-dramatically touching people's faces. And maybe the whole joke is that they're bumping into different places. A spectacular, macular
Welcome to Citizen White Cane, the podcast where we don't need to find a good movie because our canes will find it for us. My name is Sky McLeod.
I'm Melissa Buckta.
And today we are talking about the very interesting and coolly named Blind.
1987.
Or it's 86, maybe 87.
It says 86 on Canopy and 87 in VoiceOver.
It's one of those classic one of those ones where it says two different years and they're next to each other. Yeah. So, yep, cool name, cool date of it coming out. this is a documentary, very fly on the wall.
When we were talking about it off mic, you described it as slow TV.
Yes, and I think very
that's
slow TV.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect way to describe it. I mean, but it's funny because, like, I know I've been kind of bellyaching, you know, that I just want to be a fly on the wall. I just want to fly on the wall documentary with with no narrator and no talking heads, and I just want to observe. And this is it. This is it.
Have you changed your tune? Do you still want that?
Maybe about another subject.
You're like, I understand how blindness works.
I get it. I lived it. I'm living it currently. I do appreciate this. Learning to appreciate documentaries, if I had watched this like in high school or in my first years of college, I would have only made it about 30 minutes and just been like, no, there's no narrative. There's no through line. But having really gotten to appreciate documentaries and watched more and learned that everybody has their own style of documentary. And this is a slice of life, fly on the wall, slow TV style. So I didn't hate it. I mean, to be honest, I was never bored. I was kind of sort of, well, I mean, very immersed and submerged in this whole world. I was just curious, mostly because when the questions that kept popping in my head were like, you know, what if I had gone to a school like this? I didn't have that opportunity. This is a school built from the ground up specifically for blind and visually impaired people.
Except for the dude upstairs that scared me.
Except for the dude upstairs that scared you. Yeah.
Yeah, but they scared me specifically. Yeah. I mean, they were trying to, they were not like, you blind people just, you know, blind children just wander around and fall down the stairs or anything. You know, like they were very careful on who they were having. That was a big part of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is scary, but I mean, I learned how to walk downstairs the quote unquote correct way as well. Whether you choose to do it, that's up to you, but they're going, you know, I was taught how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's really interesting. I mean, it's one of those things where we always are like, do you get as good an education? And it's like, it's not like this could really answer that question, but it was something I thought about a lot. I mean, they do spend probably way more time on stuff like mobility training, which is just like, I guess it is kind of one of those like what are you going to do?
Right. Well, but I mean, it's something that maybe a sighted person would be interested in. I mean, how do we get around?
Well, right. It's all. Or to want, yeah, watching the movie. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. It's all learned behavior, essentially. I mean, for a fully blind person, you know, with absolutely no vision, you have to be shown and taught everything. Granted, we're still intuitive. Like, you're still going to intuitively understand things and want to learn things. But
right.
A baby learns to walk because a baby with sight watches its parents and siblings walk.
Well, a lot of like congenitally blind babies and young kids like just reach milestones later, mm-hmm. which I think I did, but also didn't get like service, like things I need, because like that's another weird thing is you can kind of miss having real good developmental stuff if you don't know that the baby is blind.
Right, right, yeah.
And don't help, because there is stuff you can do that can make it easier. Yeah, because like you're saying, yeah, if you watch someone do a bunch of different things, you can just mimic what you see, but you have to be more hands-on. We don't just do what it looks like everyone else is doing. We figure it out for ourselves. It just takes a lot longer.
Yeah, I mean, my biology teacher who has a blind son who's now he's way, way past being in university, but I think he's in the music industry now, which is super cool. But she recalled, you know, having to physically pick him up and manipulate his body so that he figured it out. Like, this is what walking is. Because he is no vision.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, it is a, yeah, there's definitely some benefit to having that as part of the school, to like having mobility training. I mean, you know, kids mm-hmm. those age maybe would not be as much of the, like, you wouldn't necessarily have an analogous thing in a school with sighted kids. You wouldn't be teaching them how to walk at that age, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and that and you don't feel othered, you know. It isn't like, okay, a certain time of day happens and you go to resource, which is something I did all throughout my educational career. And, you know, after school, everybody's playing, you know, sports or doing whatever, and I'm doing mobility. It is, you do feel really
singled out.
Yeah, singled out and othered in such a way. But if you were going to a school like this, it's baked into your everyday training.
Right.
Or your everyday school schedule.
You must feel like less special, you know, not in like a whatever way, but you're like, yeah, I'm just like everybody else. I'm a blind person.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, and it was really cool to see, you know, classrooms of just of only blind and visually impaired students, and people had different levels of vision.
Yeah.
There are braille readers.
But there's a lot of large print readers. Oh, yeah, that was kind of interesting, know? How they did have, like, some people were reading with their eyes and some people were reading braille, which I thought was kind of cool, because a lot of times there is, like, we do see things where it's a little bit more, like, everyone does this exact same thing, and then you have people who are very much blind but are like, I was too sighted for this school,
right,
where it's like,
right.
It should really, blind schools, I mean, we're still only 1% of the population, you might as well let all of us, you know, in, like, they're still a very, you know, we're still a minority, even if you do let everyone with vision in, or with some vision, but just all the blind people. I liked that there was a diversity. I did wonder, like, it was interesting. I wonder how much, I know, like, when I was in high school, I would have probably tried to read with my eyes, but I would have wished that someone would have told me, like, don't bother.
You know,
I really wish that had happened.
Exactly.
So I wonder, too, like, how much of that was, it did make me think about it.
Right. And at the time, I wished that I was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And I wished I wasn't having to be learning Braille. It just felt so slow, you know, when I could just get a large print of something or blow the type up or, you know, whatever. And now blowing the type up is so easy. You just, you bring an iPad with you,
you know, or
your phone, and I can just, you know, make whatever I want huge. Well, you know, at the time when I was in high school,
we didn't either.
We didn't. I mean, the first iPhone came out in like 2006, which is when I graduated.
Oh my gosh,
So I would not have had access to any of that technology. I had access to like different versions of it, kind of early versions of it. I mean, I was using, did you ever use Open Books?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Okay, so it was this computer program, and you hooked it up to a scanner, right?
Oh, it's like OCR?
Yeah, and then you scanned in your text, and then it read it to you.
God, I wish we had anything like that in my house. I had...
Now, granted, we didn't have it at our house.
Or, at all.
Yeah, no, because, ain't no way my parents are going to buy a scanner. No. But I had access to it I was in school. Yeah. Middle school, especially. There was a room, a couple of rooms. There was the resource room, and then the other room, which was technically the behavioral resource room, but I was allowed to go into both. And in one of the rooms, there was a scanner set up. Like, it was ready to go. And I just would raise my hand and be like, all right, we're doing a reading assignment. That's fine. I'm going to go do it over here.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you. I just got massive headaches and didn't learn.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's not, yeah, it's all your fault for having a slightly better experience when it comes to this stuff. It is now your fault instead of society.
But, you know, but I do have those stories too, because there were definitely so many ways in which the public school system failed me.
Yeah, for
as a disabled person.
Well, and I think it just comes down to reading was the hardest thing for me. I never got the help that I needed and would just read things with my eyes, and then I would just try not to read things, and it was just I would have a party if I ever got to access information, but that was because I couldn't read, and that was where my trauma comes from. But I think for you, your vision, it's a little bit easier to read,
even if it's not very easy. No, I mean, it, on a good day, but it can be really challenging. If the print is too small, the print is too small.
Right, and there's no, yeah, and I think that I could I could read things that are bigger. It would just hurt my head. And I didn't realize that that means that I kind of can't read these things. Mm-hmm. For me, I was like, it's okay. I'll just be in a lot of pain all the time. And it's okay because I'll be in pain all the time. But I can technically read this, even if after 15 minutes, I have a throbbing headache and have to stop for at least a day, but also can't stop at all because I have a lot of work to do. But for me, I was like, but I technically can read, sort of, because I can read some of the words. Enough to figure out what things say. I think it was just realizing I couldn't read was very important to my life. I liked the way that they kind of represented reading the different things. It was one of those things where I almost did wish we had more interviews and more ideas about it.
Could talk to the students or talk to the teachers, right? Or get their opinions on things.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the fact that the movie wasn't just this love fest for the school. I don't feel like it was designed as propaganda.
No, you know, it didn't seem like it at all.
No, because they definitely show the school has issues. The teachers have issues. The kids, some of the kids have issues. The school is dealing with stuff. And it's interesting because the school has dormitories. It's technically a boarding school.
Right.
And people send their kids there. And
yeah, they live at the send school. Them away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is probably pretty, it's also, this is from the 80s too. So right. It's some of it I'm I wonder how much of this is time period. In Arkansas, which is very different culturally.
Alabama.
Arkansas. Sorry.
It's okay.
One of those A states. I've been to all the states. I just can't.
No, it is the Alabama School for the Blind.
Yes, yeah. Alabama. Yes, thank you. It's that one. It's in Alabama, so it's a different culturally thing than, I don't know, at least in my growing up, the Alabama culture was going to be different because they had they were praying all the time, and it's you didn't in Southern California. I mean, some people were religious, but it was it was kind of gauche to pray for things
even in a secular context, right? But I mean, even this school seems real secular.
I mean, yeah, but there was it was in the South in a way that tell it was in the South because religion, Jesus came up way more than you would expect for a school. but that's the thing, is I don't know if it was a time period thing. I don't know if it was a place thing, and I don't know if it was because it was a blind boarding school. You know what I mean? It's very hard to pick out the things that seemed weird to me were hard to pick out why they were weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it I did wonder. I mean, I think the thing I wondered the most about was if they were getting the same level of education. Like, because, you know, we don't get to see a lot of that. And maybe...
You know, well, we don't get to see a comparison between... Like, I guess going back to, you know, if I was going to fix it or if we were going to fix it, we don't get to see a comparison between a non-disabled school.
And, it's not like a controlled study that we get to observe, you know? Yeah.
Well, whereas going back to the eyes of me, I thought that was really interesting because we kind of got two contrasting educational scenes.
Right. Basically. And we didn't get a lot of them in Eyes of Me, but I guess Eyes of Me is the only one that's really, of these documentaries, has really done that, that they had, they kind of evoked both schools. And there's, I think there's probably more value in doing. I wish a movie would do that because even Do You Dream in Color, which I think is probably our favorite.
Yeah, of the documentaries.
Yeah, definitely. That one was all schools that had were mostly sighted students. Like they were all they blind had people in sighted
disability
schools.
Department. Like IEP
department. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like we've only really Eyes of Me is the only one that kind of dipped into both worlds. Like. And it's only dipped into the sighted one a little bit, but it would be really interesting to see a movie that spent half of its time in a blind school and half of its time following blind students in a sighted school just to get that sense of, like, the difference in education.
Right. Well, because I didn't really think about this until you brought it up. Yeah. I mean, what you would assume that they're learning, you know, the same curriculum that a sighted person is, or that they're learning, they might not be learning at the same pace, but they're, you know, they'll come out knowing the same stuff that a sighted kid would come out, but...
You would hope so, but there's really no way to know.
You would hope
so, yeah. And it's not like they were doing calculus in any of the... You know, because this is it's not just, like, kindergartners. This is a school that's, like, I think kindergartners.
K to 12.
Yeah, it's kid. Yeah. But, yeah, it goes up to 12th grade. And we see kids are probably in, like, 12th grade.
Yeah,
they're, like,
not
the older
like a
kids.
Fleeting... Yeah, we see a fleeting... Fleeting glimpses of them.
Yeah.
We don't really... We focus mostly on the kindergarten through... fifth grade,
which I
students.
Thought was kind of weird. I guess it's just like they're like, how much do you want to actually sit through a lesson, you know, because maybe they were more lesson based, but I found the older kids a little bit more interesting.
Oh yeah,
personally.
Well, and in the one classroom when they're reading their essays about, you know, what it means to be American. What does America mean to
it's
you?
Just so funny. Just what a weird assignment. I mean, I was like, I guess maybe in the 80s this is the thing that happened in sighted school too. It's just such a weird it's a weird thing.
Oh, you've never had to write a jingoistic essay about, you know, how America is the greatest country
it's
in the world.
Just so
not that the teachers like they would force you to do it.
Yeah, the teacher seemed like kind of she was very fascinating. I appreciated her. There are some teachers that I had kind of mixed feelings about, but I liked her. I feel like she kind of engaged the students pretty decently about the, like, I don't know, she was kind of playful with them. I like teachers that are more playful with kids and are like willing to kind of engage them as like adults in, you know, like that kind of like not patronizing or being like, you're gonna just do my lesson and I'm gonna like,
and we'll just move on to the next thing.
Right,
you're gonna learn it because I say you learn it and don't question me.
Right. And especially if you are a sighted teacher teaching blind students, that looks bad in my opinion. If you're gonna just be like talking down to 17-year-old blind people, like, you know, it's not like they're even really kids. You know, kids is a relative term, but like as in a disabled way, it's like you can't be like, oh, I'm going to treat them like they're 5 because they're disabled. Like that's going to be obvious when they're 17 that you're doing that. When they're 5, it's harder to tell.
Well, and I really wish we could have followed, you know, their graduation and just I wanted to know.
Yeah, were they prepared?
Were they going to college or, you know, were they going to a vocational school? Like what?
Right.
You know, were they going back to live with their families? I mean, what's
And the hard part is like, you can learn to read Braille and all this stuff, but then there's still going to be those institutional barriers to actually getting anything in Braille.
Harder. Right. You can't just walk into a job interview and present your resume in Braille.
Yeah.
You can't. do that.
Yeah, so you need that, like, I mean, it is one of those things where it's just like, I mean, education is so bad for, like, blind students, and we talk all the time about all the problems. But then on top of that, it's just like, even if you fix the education system and it was a perfect world, you still, there's still more that has to be done, you know, to actually make people able to participate in society.
Well, and I'm wondering, because at the blind school in Anchorage, which I wish I could have attended more. It would have been fun. There, that school was also, it was center, not a school. It was the blind center. So they did, it was like an old house, a couple of old houses, and they did have rooms because some people did spend time there. They did sleep there. Like when I had a camp class, summer camp thing, I basically went and lived there for like a week or 2 weeks. And it was really fun. And we learned basic life skills stuff and job classes and different things. But what, you know, what I really liked about the Blind Center is they offered, you know, home skills classes.
Right.
I
mean, cooking, we see a, you know, cooking class classes
and everything. Yeah.
Which I kind of like that it was co-ed too, which was kind of like, it wasn't a weird sexist, like, you know, what is it, home ec?
Well,
class.
Men need to learn how to cook too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I liked that, you know, because there were times where even with abled students, they would just make the girls go to.
Well, also for the record, as someone who actually took home ec in high school, it was not sexist at all, honestly. The boys learned how to sew frilly pillows just like us girls did. Everybody cooked.
Well, I think at one time, you know, that was the thing, was it was just like, right, you would go to home ec or shop. But then it would be entirely based on the gender or the sex you were assigned at birth,
right,
basically.
Right, right. But not, no, in my high school, it was actually really fun. The boys and the girls got into it equally, like whatever gender you were, we all got into it equally and learned.
Yeah, that can be cute. Yeah. I mean,
fun fact, the pillow that I made, which was a frilly heart pillow, won third place at the fair.
Nice.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
That is cool. I really do. Most home ec subjects I feel allergic to. Maybe this is just my gender flu, be like, man, I'm not a girl. but I would not have enjoyed home ec. I think a shop would have definitely been more of my alley. I would much rather learn how to do that stuff as a blind person than home ec stuff. But whatever. This is why I only date people who cook for me.
Well, there you go.
You just need to find a good man to cook for you, and then you don't need to learn how to cook.
my roommate and I were talking about cooking, and he's like, hey, you've not gone grocery shopping in a while. And I was like, I know. And he's like, the fridge is fixed. Like, you can go grocery shop. Our fridge broke down a while ago. It was rough. And he's like, you can go grocery shopping. And I'm like, I know. I hate cooking. And he's like, okay, give me a list of recipes and I'll cook for you. This is great.
See, everyone's got to have a man in their life who will cook for them. You don't even have to be dating. You just be your husband.
No, it's just like, give me the recipe and the supplies. If you pay for it and do the dishes, I will cook for you.
This is good. If you only date women, then you have to have a man who's your housemate who cooks for you. as long as it's a man is the important part.
And, you know, and my housemate's a really good cook. So
there you go. And my partner's a good cook. So that's the important part. That's why I would take shop. I'm sticking to that. But I don't know. They didn't really have shop that we saw, at least.
No, we didn't. Nothing like that. No, but honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I think for a blind, visually impaired person, I think home economics is much more important to learn than metal shop. I think metal shop and wood shop are great.
Well, like repairing the house, you know, being just a general handyman.
Just learning how, well, sure, that. But like just literally learning how to live in a house and cook and clean for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I think like,
It's life skills. It's home skills. You know,
it's true.
If you're a you know, blind single person,
but fixing things around the house is equally important, though. You've got like sometimes things are like you need a professional, like the outlet's fucking sparking. You don't want to deal with that on your own, excited or not. You want someone with a, you know.
I mean, look, my dear friends, her and her wife, she can fix a toilet. That's hot. I don't need to fix a toilet.
Well, yeah, but it could be handy to have that. Like, it's just as handy as knowing how to cook or clean, right?
Well, yeah, okay. Yes, it is.
It's just we pick what we think's important to us.
Right. and I'm just going to pay someone else to do it.
Right, right. And you can always pay someone else to, maybe not a personal chef, but you can order from restaurants or get fast food, you know, similarly or, outsourcing.
Or bribe your roommate.
Right, exactly, exactly. Just don't tell the food stamps people about that because they're very weird about who is in your family.
Yeah, seriously,
if you
don't,
just cook
don't
with someone in your family.
That's considered preparing food together.
Yeah, and then you have to give them the social security number of your housemate, and so if they have a good job, you're fucked.
Don't do that.
This is our defrauding the government section.
Oh my god, no.
But also,
that hits too close to home.
We do not do this ourselves for the podcast record. if anyone's listening to this,
I haven't had food stamps for at least 2 years now, so there you go.
So anyway, so we don't get too much in the weeds about all of our the ways in which we cook. We do see some co-ed that is the older people.
Those are the older kids.
They don't let the young kids cook.
No, they don't let the younger kids use stoves and hot plates yet.
No, I don't know. You know, you're supposed to start early for some of that stuff. I mean, safety, you start with safety, and
sure,
then you can teach.
Oh, God.
Like, because safety is important. I never learned when I was younger. I probably could have learned better once I was diagnosed as blind, but I was 15 and a half, and apparently maybe that was just my family didn't make it that much of a priority, which is fine. But, like, but I did not learn how to blind cook. Like, that was not a thing that happened even after. When I was 15, it felt like it was like, oh, okay, well, since no one can teach me at home before now, and then it was like, I'm already used to not being someone who can cook.
I mean, I just wasn't... It's not that I wasn't allowed in the kitchen, but just cooking was just something that I didn't do.
Yeah.
So
me too. Yeah.
So I just went on my, you know, my merry way, and
knives scare me.
Knives are scary.
And sighted people do seem to cut themselves with knives more than blind people because we're just so scared of them.
Right. Well, as someone who was a knife salesman very briefly, knives are scary.
They're scary. They can hurt you. I mean, if you don't, you're supposed to do it the right way, and I think that that's maybe something that I could learn. But
it's
still scary.
Yes, you can. There is a proper way for a blind person to use a knife.
Right, right. And, you know, it's I'm sure someday I could learn it. It's one of those things where it's just like, it's like, how much do you make it a priority? But, I mean, okay, so these classes that they're taking, try to guess back on.
Back on track. Toot, toot.
I know. It's slow TV. We're just riding
exactly
a train off the,
right?
off the tracks is American TV, actually.
We're riding the ferry through the field.
Yes, exactly.
That's the most popular TV show in, like, the Netherlands. it's a literal ferry ride from one point to another. It's gorgeous.
Isn't that the Swedish thing?
Or is it Swedish? Swedish.
They did the whole ferry. I don't know if it's the most popular. I think it was very popular when they did it. It was like a 6-day journey from
showed it in real time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
This movie is not that much bad. But it is really, truly slow TV. I swear there's an entire mobility lesson. I mean, maybe.
Oh, it takes up at least
like
30 to 40 minutes of
it. It is just one of those things where you're like, this is just literally, I could do a mobility training lesson at this time.
Sure. But I mean, and it's so cool the way she's learning and learning
she's
to navigate.
Cute.
And she's got her little tiny little key.
Yeah.
It's so cute. Well, and the little boy, what really impressed me is the little boy who finished his English paper, and all he wanted to do was like go downstairs and have it checked or like get a star or something or whatever.
That's very cute.
And you get to see him walk and figure it out himself the whole way. He also does stairs, which is kind of incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just this cute little kid, and he does it. He makes it from point A to point B and back again.
That was sweet. I like that. Some of it was like fun to watch. And
And I mean, I know that entire statement must have sounded so patronizing, but
well, I mean, this is also a small child, so I mean, like, it's not.
You walked from one point to the other point.
I mean, but that was a kind of is a weird thing about it is that, like, I mean, they are so. It is a weirdly, like, kind of an island to itself too, because it is a boarding school. So there's also that weird thing about it in that way that you're like. people just live here. Like, there's something like it almost feels like it when we it started, I was like, oh, it must be like something you would come to after school or something for a few hours. I'm like, oh no, this is like all the time.
Yeah, this is their life.
It's their entire life. Which is, I mean, I guess that is helpful and that you get to like do more. It is one of those things that is just so hard to tell, like, how much time things. I mean, like, learning Braille is something, like, if you learn to write, that's the same amount of time it takes to learn to write as it does to learn Braille. So, you know, like, that's part of education, theoretically, if you, especially with the little kids learning Braille, is like, okay, so you get to, like, start early on with, like, kind of stuff that feels like it belongs in school in a way that mobility training, of course, has to happen somewhere. But it's like, it feels, in my head, I was like, oh, are other kids going to get ahead because they don't have to deal with, you know, spending all this time learning things that, you know, that the blind kids have to learn, which, I don't know, that's a problem without a solution, I guess. But yeah, I mean, okay, so there's also, we have to talk about the disciplinary practices.
Right, yeah, school. That was really interesting. And because there's a whole, the middle chunk of this is about they're having trouble with two boys in particular.
Yeah, one of which was... I was mad about.
Sure.
Because, okay, one, we don't even meet, and we hear that he stole. And it seems like it seems like a kid who was just having trouble and, like, acting out. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, it's just, I think, did he have some weird thing with his home life or something?
Yeah.
He kept, stealing things.
We do, right, and we do meet that kid. Because we get to see an entire counseling session with him.
And I was like, how are we seeing these counseling? Are we allowed to see these counseling
sessions? I feel really intrusive.
It does. Right now. It feels weird.
Yeah, but he basically has, not the greatest home life.
Yeah, it's like divorced parents. Right. And so he winds up... so he steals things a couple times, and it's kind of, I guess, like a few strikes and you're out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where they just have him, where they kind of call his parents, and then the parents have to, like, resign him.
There's a form involved, like a withdrawal form.
Right, yeah. But it's, like, so he doesn't have to worry. If he's expelled, then he's going to have a harder time getting into, so they're like, oh, we want you to, you know, withdraw him.
Right, it's
so
not
that
an
he
expulsion.
Doesn't get expelled, so he doesn't have a harder time getting into school, that makes sense.
That's nice. I mean, and they give her the option, you know, in 90 days, you know, if he can get his act together, come back to the school. Like, they don't want to give up on this kid.
Yeah.
But because it's a boarding school and they have, you know, 80, 90 other kids to teach.
It's like, it's a hard one. And it's like, okay, that's, it was one of those things where I was like, you know, I in my head, I'm like, I wish there's a better way to go. I mean, I feel like I would do a different way to go about this if I was in charge also, but, like, I'm also just like, okay, fine, you have a lot of things on your head, on your mind, and sometimes that's gonna be, it's an easier option to do it that way, even though I don't think if I was a principal that would have been my choice. I would have wanted the kid to, like, you know, if a kid's having a hard time, that's when they need good helpful, you know, adults the most.
Right.
So, you know, just kind of like writing them off seems lame to me, but I'm like, okay, well, you know, whatever, that's kind of how it goes most of the time. So sure. The other kid, I did feel like was problematic, the way that they were dealing with this kid.
Yeah, he's a younger kid, first grader.
Yeah. And was he that young?
I thought he was, no, like, second grader, sorry.
Okay. Or I actually thought he was even older than that, but it's been a few weeks since we've watched this, so it's very possible that you're right.
Well, no, you're right. I think it's third grade
Okay.
I'm going to go with third grader.
Okay.
Anyway, but he's having major behavioral problems. Just cannot get his act together.
Right. So which his behavioral problems are kind of like it sounds like he has ADHD, honestly, is kind of what they sound like.
It could very well be.
Because he's just like very fidgety, and then the teachers will yell at him for being fidgety, and like, and then he'll act out more. But it's just like, it might just be that he's, you know, fidgety, and that's not a problem. You know, you kind of have to just let him do it, especially since blind people tend to have more, like, tics and stuff. And so there's a lot of things that they're getting mad about where I was like, I mean, you should really just not care about that at all. Seems really like not something that is worth your time to try to discipline someone out of, you know, having ADHD. That's not the route you want to be going down.
Right. Well, and this is the 80s. So
yeah, so I don't think they had that as a diagnosis.
Right. I could run a test or could prescribe anything or
Did they not? And maybe they didn't even understand that most, I mean, you would think that this would come up so often if they were, because blind people do have more tics and things like that, that like you are more likely to like stim basically. So, so stimming behavior is also kind of can have similar ADHD things. So to ADHD, so you would think it would actually be pretty common that kids would be stimming because that's a common thing
right. for blindness. I mean, unless, you know, unless they metaphorically beat it out of them.
Right, which was literally what they did in some, like, because they were like, we have to spank him. And this, oh my God.
Yeah, corporal punishment.
And this poor young teacher was like, I wanted to give her a hug because I was like, you're correct. Like, and they are being so dumb.
Could we not do that?
She was like, I just feel like when you spank him, it doesn't help at all. And it just makes it worse.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, you're correct. And she was like, well, I talked to another teacher and she said that he was, you know, he was even worse when they were spanking him. And he's much better in my class than anyone else's class. And he gets spanked in all the other classes. And she was just like trying so hard. I wanted to hug her. I was like, you're right. And they were all just like, you are, you know, you're very dumb and you're a young girl and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Shut up. Like, and they basically just shamed her out of it. And I was like, oh, I related to her way too much in that scene. I was like, oh, God, you are me. I feel so bad.
Gone are the days when we are allowed to, when authority figures are just allowed to wallop on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's, I mean, the way that we think about discipline in schools is already problematic, but that's, I always forget that we just did another level of things like not that long ago.
Oh yeah, I mean, we didn't grow up, you know, in the time when being disruptive in school meant you get whacked. I mean, right. my mom did. My mom went to a Catholic school.
Oh my gosh,
with nuns and rulers.
Oh, that's horrible. It's and it is true. I mean, like, you just, it just makes the situation worse. It doesn't help anyone, and it just scars children for life, like for no good reason. Like, basically, it's just like, you have ADHD. Well, now you're scarred for life for no reason other than we thought we were gonna, you know, cure your ADHD with hurting you. It's just like the idea that, whatever, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think that they might have been going on the right track, you know, giving him a goal. There's the field trip they were going on. They're going to Showbiz Pizza.
Right.
Showbiz Pizza field trip. And I'm like, okay, cool. So take it away. Like, make that something he's working towards. You know, if the deal is that if he misbehaves, you know, and can't get his act together, then I guess he doesn't go on the field trip.
But I felt like what he needed was someone to understand that part of who is he's going to need a fidget, and that sometimes that there's a lot of people in this world that just need a fidget, and to force them out of doing it. It's like Tourette's, where if you like tell, and like other things that involve tics, if you have tics and you tell people not to do them, they get so much worse.
Oh yeah,
and definitely. So and like that was probably just what was going on with him. Like, that seems like the most reasonable explanation, given the fact that it would get worse when he was told not to do it. And they were like, he just wants attention. I'm like, no, you're just making it worse by telling him he can't fidget. Because he would always start by, they explained it, he would always start by fidgeting in a way that didn't, that they would say disrupted the class, but it would be like he was tapping his pen on the, you know, it'd be things that are like fidgeting behavior that are not aggressive or targeted at anyone. And then he would be yelled at, and then he would continue to do it in a different way because it would be fidgeting. And then he would like do fidgety behavior like three times until he would start getting mad at the teacher who kept told him to stop fidgeting.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, it all comes down to different time and different ways of educating. I mean, now, you know, one of my teachers had a box of fidgets. And if you got sleepy, which I constantly was, or, you know, or whatever, she would bring around the fidget box. And they were all, you know, not loud fidgets, but something, the cushy ball with spikes was my favorite because it woke me up. I mean, I could roll it across my hands and, you know, and feel it. She's a great teacher.
Yeah.
But so, most teachers now know and are armed with stuff like that.
Right. But it was just like so beyond. It just, all of the ways that they made it, like the kids were just trying to be disruptive and they like made it all on the kids instead of understand. Like, it's just, even the the school counselor too was like just as bad, and I was like, God, you, like, you're the counselor and you're not even gonna like have be the one with sense in this conversation. That's depressing to me. But I mean, it's I don't know, I shouldn't have been surprised at that kind of stuff, but it's just so, it's just, it's such a scapegoating thing. I think it's maybe it is like especially triggering for me because I was a kid that would act out in ways that I was just disabled. I was just blind and like did have ADHD, and that was always me acting out purposefully against teachers. And it's just like, it never helps to do that. Like, you need to understand what's going on with a kid. And I don't even think punishing them with taking things away is any help, because it's like, it's very hard to just tell someone, don't do this, instead of like giving them a way to like cope with what's going on with them.
Right. Or at least sitting them down and saying, you know, just straight up ask, you know, why?
Yeah,
why do you feel the need to do this?
Right, and being genuine, because it always felt like this poor kid, like, you see him talk to, like, people, and he, like the principal, and he just did, he was a very, he was both a sweet kid and also just, like, seemed terrified, like, to be in that situation. Like, he was not, like, you know, he just seemed like he really did not have a lot of control over the things, and that it was, he was being blamed, and he learned that you have to, like, take the blame and just, like, internalize it. And it felt like you had just, like, you destroyed a child's spirit. It made me very sad because it didn't have to happen. But the principal was just kind of, he was like, why do you do this? And it was like, you don't actually want to know why. You are wanting, like, it was very obvious this teacher wanted, wanted an answer that he thought was the right answer. And if the kid did not say the answer that he had decided was correct, then the kid was going to get in trouble.
Well, and that's where this comes, the disadvantages of this documentary come into play, is because there's no narrative structure and there's no through line. We set up and we meet all of these quote unquote characters, you know?
Yeah.
And there's just no payoff.
Right, right. And I think we find out he gets to go to the dance because he was good, but then I think he was bad again. There was like a whole drama with this. I don't remember. But we don't get to really see what happens with him over time or anything.
Right, right. And I think I would have preferred a little bit more of that. It's funny because I got what I wanted, no structure at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, gee whiz. Yeah, I wish there was a little bit more structure in this.
That's very funny. I mean, I like, yeah, I mean, Fly on the Wall are interesting for sure. I think, like, yeah, it is hard to how to structure these things because you're really not going to know until you're like a student there or a teacher there for a long, you know, then you'll get a good sense of it. But it is hard to capture it in a 2-hour documentary, like exactly, especially with such an age range, so many different.
Right, right.
Like,
I mean, it's an amazing place. I mean, it makes me want to catch up with them. Maybe, you know, maybe with.
I wonder if they're still around.
The same kids, that would be really interesting.
The kids might still be alive. Sure. Yes.
Well, yeah, of course.
I meant the school.
No, I'm pretty sure the school still exists.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I wonder how it's changed. I wonder if they still do carpool. No, probably not.
No, I'm going to go with no, probably not.
I think it's illegal now, if I'm not mistaken, but you never know. Yeah. It's not like a religiously affiliated school, but I assume it's somewhat, is it private of some kind? I don't know how that works.
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know. Because I met someone from the Louisiana School for the Blind.
Oh.
And that's another, seems like a really cool school. But and I don't think they're religiously affiliated either.
Yeah.
They're just another school for the blind.
Yeah, I feel like you don't usually hear about them being religious. Mm-hmm. I think it's just hard enough to, like, you know, there's a lot of Jesus people in the U.S., but there's not enough Jesus blind people to, like, it be full on, you know, enough to fill a school. You gotta be a little bit more open to different people. yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't know. What else is in this movie?
I mean, it was just, you know, it was just a really interesting look into back in time, into the back into to the 80s and to the school, and it just made me, I mean, yeah, a lot of the disciplinary stuff was crap, but the other stuff, you know, it was exciting, and it made me grateful for the good teachers that I had and the good vision teachers that I had.
Yeah.
You know, and I can function as a blind person fairly well in this world.
Yeah.
You know, in no small part because of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I feel like this one in some ways made me like, I mean, now that I'm learning Braille and doing the blind stuff that I should have probably done when I was younger, in some ways I feel like I have more of a maturity, I guess, to like, and not having to also deal with all the stress of school while going through that. It's not that I don't wish that I had gotten this stuff earlier, but I think it's kind of changed my perspective a little bit on it, and I am thankful that I never got an education that was watered down because I was disabled, which I mm-hmm. think is a sadly all too common thing. I do wish that I had actually gotten more of an opportunity to learn than I did, and that I had, you know, that I wasn't always at a disadvantage, but the sad fact is that you're always going to be at a disadvantage because the world's pretty hostile to us, and so it's not going to end with school, you know. So I don't know. I think it was interesting. I don't know. There was some of the, oh gosh, there was that one thing where there was little kids who were like, who were standing up when they had color, like they had these weird colors, and there was like a song, and they were supposed to stand up when their color song was called. And right, I was like, right. What is happening? Why are they, why do they need to learn colors? They're blind. There's not like, luckily we don't have to do that kind of dumb stuff. Like the pointless things of learning colors that I always hated as a kid. Like why would you subject blind people to that? It's just, oh, so silly. Like, I don't understand what the... And it was just, like, such a... It was very ridiculous. There were some things like that where I was like, I think they were just, like, young kids and they're basically babysitters, you know, at that age. That it's just literally anything we can get them to do, we'll do. But it did seem like if this is teaching them anything, it's what colors are, which seems irrelevant. But, yeah, I don't know. That's... but do they dream in color? That's a different one. I don't know. Is that the movie?
I think it's the movie.
Okay.
I
that's so. Our third blind. Third yes. eyed blind.
Third of many, I'm sure.
Yes. There are like 10 of them. And also I think it's called blind because there's another one called deaf. So I think the documentaries did a couple different schools.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's what it is. So yeah, but if you want to go check it out, it's on Canopy. I mean, it's, if you're a slow TV person or you have like, you really like to have chores going on with very little action going on the TV, like this is good for that, you know.
And it's free.
So, yeah,
like like you said, through Canopy. So
what are you gonna give this, what are you gonna
I mean, you know, we always rate docs higher because it's actual, factual, real life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 2300.
Nice.
I think I'd rate it higher if I felt a little more satisfied at the end. I mean, I'm happy that we watched it, but yeah, I just wanted there to be a little bit more structure and follow through.
Yeah.
As a documentary.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I'm going to give it a 2100 for similar reasons. I mean, it's, you know, you get something out of it. But also, I'm like, I've done a mobility training class and I've learned Braille. So I've kind of gotten more out of my life now, I guess, than this movie. It's just very slow. And you're not really totally sure what you're supposed to be, what any of the takeaways are. It's much more like, have you ever wondered what it would be like to be, but even that, you're like, I don't even know if a sighted person who really did not have any concept of blindness would get that much out of this, you know?
There's so much. Well, and I guess I do like the fact that it's not a lot of it is really explained.
No.
You know, this is how a blind person, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's just, you are in the moment in there learning right along with the kids.
It's true. It did, but in a way, I was just like, maybe I should just be in a mobility training class than watching. You know, like, because I don't get as much watching one on TV as if I was actually in one.
Well, sure. Yeah.
They don't patronize the viewers or assume they don't understand. But yeah, if you want to watch a very specific blind school in a very specific time period, doing very long general activities, this is the movie for you. What were you blindsided by this week, Melissa?
I've got a movie.
For these 2 weeks.
These 2 weeks. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I've got a movie, and I'm hoping that I have not talked about this before.
Okay, I'll tell you.
If I have, please stop me. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh, we saw that last week, but I don't think you've talked about it.
I don't think I've talked about it. And if I have, well, you're going to hear about it again.
And yeah, that'd be kind of fitting for the movie, but you have to do it differently this time.
Okay, great. So I saw two movies this week, these past 2 weeks. I saw Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and I saw Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
The horror movie.
The horror movie, which was surprising. One of them is a masterpiece.
Everything?
Yes, of course it's Everything. This movie is amazing. I laughed, I cried. I mean, I cried. It encapsulates so much, you know, about being, you know, about being in the Asian American diaspora, which I cannot relate to because I'm not an Asian American person, but it talks about familial relationships, LGBTQ relationships, being accepted by the ones that you love, and then I love a good villain redemption arc, right? Like, please, like, give me the baddest person and then make them good at the end. In the end, like, please. The day I learned that it isn't black and white, and the villain doesn't need to be destroyed, you know, is so eye-opening to me. And this movie has that. I mean, this movie has...
You don't even really know who the villain
is. No, you don't. You don't. I mean, and there are parts of this that are absurd. It's so ridiculous. And yet, they bring it... everything is brought home in such a absolutely splendiferous way. Everything that they set up is paid off.
Yeah.
Every single weird, absurd, crazy thing. And it's just, I am overwhelmed with joy. And I remember watching, and just my eyes were wide and my mouth was just hanging open. And I was just like, this is why you go to the movies, for this experience. And I think that's why Doctor Strange, although it's a good movie and I had a very fun time, but I felt kind of hollow.
Yeah.
After watching
sounded it. Sounded like it would feel that way.
Yeah. And when you have, God, cinema. I mean, something that just means so much. It's a classic. It's a freaking classic.
Well, it's nice to not have something that's also part of a franchise. Like, well, it's really true. Nice to have, like, it. What movies used to be. I'm
an original
be, like,
story.
All the film school kids and very original opinion that I have.
Right.
But yeah.
But I mean, and everybody turns in such an amazing performance. I mean, Michelle Yeoh. Michelle Yeoh fucking kills it in this movie, and it's so wonderful to see an amazing, you know, middle-aged lady get to do all this cool stuff. And I'm not saying that because she's not gorgeous or amazing. Like, she's beautiful and she's incredible, but you don't get to see
it's
that.
It's not usually the lead.
No,
of a movie.
A lead of a movie. The gentleman, the actor who plays her husband, fucking Short Round from the Temple of Doom. I didn't even know the guy was still acting.
He's the best character.
Oh my God, he's the best character. Oh my God. Also, the fact that the movie doesn't spoon feed you information. You are just thrust into it. And yet, it is done so well and so expertly. I was never confused about what was happening.
It's true.
Or bored or tired or this is so lame. I mean, the point in the movie where they, I'm so sorry, spoilers for Everything Everywhere All at Once, go see it. But the point in the movie where they become rocks.
I was going to say where they're rocks. And the audio description apparently was heard by Conrad from my headphones.
That's fantastic. the audio description was so good.
Because it was silent in the room, which right. I didn't even realize until he was like, oh, yeah, you could hear the audio description. I was like, oh, fuck, it was silent.
Oh, my God, that's hysterical. Yeah, no, it's completely silent. Yeah. Reading.
I'm like, yeah, but they're dialogue.
Right, right, because yeah. they're talking.
Right, right.
But, like, they figure out, like, the raison d'etre of both characters as fucking rocks. I can't.
It rocks.
It rocks. It totally rocks. And rolls, too. I can't even begin. I need to go back and watch this. I truly, it's so good. It's so good. It's literally the best thing I've seen all year.
It made me cry like for way too long because it was the entire movie is like, love that you have a mom. And I was like, no, I don't want to watch this.
No.
And my dad was like, it'll be really great because my 2 weeks ago, I posted the episode with my mom of this mm-hmm. podcast. And for those who don't know me or follow Facebook, my mom passed away a couple weeks ago when we're recording this. It was very hard and extremely sudden and not in any way expected whatsoever. And she really wanted me to watch this movie and kept asking me to watch it. So we were like, oh, go see it. And then it was like, and then my dad was like, yeah, I'm sorry that I made you watch this. But I mean, it's a really good movie. It was I mean, I also recommend the movie. And if your mom didn't just die, then you don't have to worry about that part of it. Anyway, sorry.
No, oh my God, don't be sorry. Oh, are you kidding me? No. I was completely, when you texted me, I was completely just, it felt like being hit by a train.
It was very, really not anything that, and a terrible Mother's Day gift, for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But my mom was an amazing person, as you can tell from her episode, if you don't know her personally. It is a real tragedy. We got many of the moments at the end of the movie where you have to watch the movie, so I won't spoil it. Yeah. But, we had a lot of great moments after tumultuous me being a teenager, like you do. So I'm really thankful that I got to spend so many years with my mom.
I didn't get to know her as much as I wanted to. I mean, she was incredible.
She loved you too.
Oh, thank you. Oh. I'm so glad I got to meet her and hang out with her and talk and the little time that I did.
And she was like this podcast's biggest fan, so which Conrad was like, oh, I thought I was the biggest fan. She listened to all episodes and she was always the one who would listen to them right away, though. She was saving the last few episodes for when she was going to be driving down with my sister to Portland, so she never got to hear the last few episodes because she had been saving them up to listen to them. So
did she ever get to hear the Star Wars episode, just out of curiosity?
Glad was a while ago.
Of course.
Unless she didn't listen to it because she felt
weird
about
it up. Yeah.
Oh no, I was thinking like because she was like, I don't hear my voice.
I understand that. Yeah, completely.
But I think she did hear it. But she was a very loyal fan of the podcast, and it is hard to. I just always think about how she's going to listen to it in my head when we record them. So it's sad to know that she won't be listening anymore. But I love her. So, and I don't know why I thought it would be a good idea to talk about Chernobyl as my blind side.
Way to go.
I'd say
it's a tonal shift, but it's not.
It's different in some ways, for sure. It's Yeah, if you want sad things.
Sad things.
You want things that are sad for everyone, even, you know, no matter your circumstance. Chernobyl. It's a very good show. I probably should have saved this, honestly. Should I just do this next time? I'm stumped to talk about it, but I feel like maybe I should.
I don't know. It's up to you. Go for it. Keep going.
Okay. It's a fascinating show. it's just like a miniseries about the actual Chernobyl, mm-hmm. and just everything that led up to the mm-hmm. all of the like dealing with it afterwards, and you kind of see how the Soviet government, I guess, but like how this entire system of government failed to protect people, and like all the ways in which just kind of this cascading effects of when you don't tell the truth. It's very American in a way of its morals, it is a fascinating miniseries, and I think they tried pretty hard to stay as close to facts as you can be, even though a lot of information is still contested, and mm-hmm. you know, there's all this stuff that is still, especially with the death counts, which is something we looked into, is still very much unknown, because a lot of people died, you know, 5 years later, and it was right as like the Soviet Union basically was, you know, fell apart within less or about 5 years after. So it was like kind of a, like in a lot of ways, I think that they might even talk about this in the show. They're like, at least I think it was Gorbachev actually said that the reason that the Soviet Union fell was because of Chernobyl.
Wow. Holy smokes.
So, yeah. So it's kind of an interest, you know, just to kind of, what a colossal problem it was, and in some ways what they were able to do, which is pretty amazing. I'm sure we learned, and I'm sure a lot of the stuff we know now about best practices came mm-hmm. from, you know, some stuff done wrong at Chernobyl. but I think it was, you know, it was a problem that was nothing had ever been close to that level before. Mm-hmm. So it's also just people trying to figure out how to do something that's never ever been done before. And how to fix a mess.
Yeah. You know? I've not checked it out. I think I got about 20 minutes into the first episode and was like, oh no.
It's a lot.
it is so much.
It's, yeah.
So much sad.
You have to be in the right mindset for it. I think it's good to come at it with like a interesting historical document thing. But if you're feeling depressed or something, you want to pick me up, this is not it. Though it was very funny because Connor was like, I don't really want to watch TV. If we're going to watch TV, I want something really funny, like comedy and very light. Sure. We were looking at shows and he was like, oh yeah, I've heard Chernobyl is good. And I was like, oh yeah, I was thinking about watching Chernobyl soon, but are you sure that that is the thing that you want to watch? He's like, no, yeah, let's watch that.
Oh my god. Yeah. Honestly, that completely fits. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I know. It's very funny. Now we're watching Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Okay, good. So good. That's funny. Yeah.
I'll
get there. If you want some really great counter programming to that though.
Ooh.
I think it's on HBO too, as well as PU 1238. There's a 298. It's the atomic number basically for plutonium.
Oh, okay.
And it takes place after Chernobyl, and I can't remember if it's based on a true story or not, but it's about a gentleman who is trying to save his family, essentially, like get them enough money to survive, and he decides to do that by strapping some plutonium to his chest and going around the Soviet Union trying to sell it.
What?
It's super not a comedy and real depressing.
How is that counter programming?
I guess it's not counter programming, but
it sounds pretty.
Do you want more of the same thing?
Yes.
Great. Watch PU 298.
Okay. That sounds bizarre.
It's really bizarre. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wonder if it is based on a true story.
I don't remember. I watched it in college. I don't remember.
Okay. I mean, and Chernobyl is also on HBO. Yes. So
yes.
They're all about that Chernobyl content.
Yep. Get your Chernobyl content.
Yeah. Fun time.
It's PCC. Premium Chernobyl content.
Yep. That's or the Portland Community College.
Or premium cult content.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all the same. And all three of them are the same idea. We just have what we're doing next 2 weeks. In 2 weeks.
Yes, what are we doing?
And, you know, my mom always corrected us. So since I now have to just remember to say 2 weeks every 2 weeks. sorry. Blindness is what we're going to do because I love... this is how I deal with trauma is to watch the most stupid.
Perfect.
Problematic. Very, very bad. I mean, like, I think the one good thing about it is it's so bad that you can't take it seriously.
No, not at all. Not at all. This will be my third time watching this film.
Yes, which we had to do it eventually, and I'm sorry that I get to play the trauma card this week.
That's all right. No, it's...
Make you watch this stupid movie.
No, you are totally good. I'm more than up for it. Let's go.
And you get to bring us something fun and light or not if you don't. Or not.
Who knows what I'll find.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You're a fruit person.
All right. We're watching Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. I'm just add a blind character. You're just like any movie you want to watch, just put a blind character in a scene.
Right. We'll just pretend that Lalayar is blind. It's fine.
There you go. It'll be there fine. There you go. So yes, next week or... 2 weeks, we will be watching Blindness, which I believe is on Pluto TV.
Oh, nice. Streaming. I mean, you can rent it on the usual
suspects.
But
yeah, you can rent it on the usual suspects. That's like the way to get it for free if you don't pay.
I remember my other thing I was so excited about. The winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. I know this is a couple weeks behind us now, but I finally caught up with it. This season's winner is Willow Pill, who is our first disabled
Oh, awesome.
So, sweet. Super cool. They're really amazing, and they're each of them got to perform their like own hit song basically that they composed, and Willow's is all about the fun things that they love and their absolute existential dread because they hate people. So it's great.
Nice. That is
so
awesome.
So look that up. I Hate People by Willow Pill. It's fabulous.
Yes. Okay. I love that. Repping a cool disabled person.
Yes.
Awesome. We did another episode.
We did it.
Of the podcast. And we're going from blind to blindness. So we're making a big jump into the world of ness.
Perfect. I mean, hey, this movie's got Mark Ruffalo and Julianne Moore. Can't go wrong.
I mean, Mark Ruffalo, there's nothing better. that's my poll quote for this episode. Okay. Our theme song is by Lucia Pisano. Our YouTube is Citizen White Cane Podcast. Our Twitter is White Cane Pod. Our Facebook and our Instagram are both Citizen White Cane. Our email address is citizenwhitecanepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a voice message, there's a link in the show notes.
Ooh, did you go to the Alabama School of Blind? If you did, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah. And have you, when did you first wander around in a building without parental supervision? I don't know.
Yeah, perfect.
It's got to be a fun story, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And if you, what universe would you put on Everything Bagel?
Yes,
we'd love to know. Leave us a voice message and come back next week for some really, really, really bad movie. It's so bad. If you could watch it on Pluto TV, go for it. Maybe don't give this movie too much money. We are already telling you it's bad.
You can't go wrong, Lo. With Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, just donate to him as a human. I don't know if you could do that, but I would. Anyway, yes, we will not see you in 2 weeks for Blindness. Bye.
Bye.